Amen. Well, we've been in a series that we called An Honest Heart, talking about the sower, parable of the sower. And so we're going to read that parable again, Mark 4, verse 1. Of course, those messages are all available online, various places if you want to catch up. It's all good. It says, verse 1, Mark 4, 1, and again he began to teach by the sea, and a great multitude was gathered to him. So that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea, and the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. Then he taught them many things by parables and said to them in his teaching, "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow, and it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it, and some fell on stony ground where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased, and produced, some 30-fold, some 60, some 100. And he said to them, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Verse 10, but when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. We'll skip down to verse 13. It says, "And he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all parables? The sower sows the words." Now he's explaining it. The sower sows the word. So the sower in the parable we read, he represents the word being sown. The seed represents the word. These are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. And they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now, these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But these are the ones sown on good ground. Those who hear the word accept it and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. So we've been talking about these areas, and let's go back to read verse 14 real quick. It says, the sower sows the word. And so now he's explaining, the ones that are sown by the wayside, the seed that's sown by the wayside, when they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. So that's one area, or that's one category. People hear the word, and immediately Satan comes and steals it, because he is always doing that. Mm-hmm. The devil goes about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And if he can take the word's not going to produce. You cannot change your own life effectively without the word. God will change your life as you yield to him. We have a part to play. We receive the word, and the Holy Spirit will work with the word to help you change your life. But you can't do it alone. People try. They just trade. They trade one habit for another habit, because you can't solve spiritual problems with natural tools. You can't do it. And so the world's trying to do this, and that's what all the self-help programs are. That's what all the philosophy is. It's men trying to solve men's problems. You get a little bit of relief, but you're not going to ultimately solve it without the Holy Spirit and God's word. And so Satan tries to get that word out of you before it even takes root, because then he keeps men bound. We talked about that. Verse 16, these likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word immediately receive it with gladness. So they're happy about it. These people that got past Satan wasn't able to keep them from receiving it. They were glad about it, but they have no root in themselves and so endure only for a time. Notice it's only for a time. It's indefinite time. But not, they don't endure. They only endure for a time. And then it says, afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Notice it arises, tribulation, persecution arises for the word's sake. Trying to get you to let go of the word. Because Satan doesn't care about you. He cares about what's going to be born, the fruit that's going to be born in your life and the impact that you're going to have and the change that the word's going to do in you. So he tries to get the word dislodged from your life. That's what he's trying to do. He doesn't care about you. Satan doesn't care about anybody. I mean, you talk about somebody that's selfish. You see people that are designing and selfish. He's the father of it. And so he's trying to get that word because he wants to keep power. He wants to dominate people. So people only, in this category, only endure for a time, then they stumble. Verse 18, now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word. So this is a category we've been talking about. They hear the word and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things, it chokes the word and it becomes unfruitful. We'll talk more about that. Verse 20, then these are the ones who are sown on good ground, who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, some 100-fold. So four categories. It's the condition of our heart that determines the type of soil, and we determine the condition of our heart. God does not. God's word is the same to every type. We have something to do with it. God doesn't control our hearts. We control our hearts. But God, as the word comes in and we yield to him, he's going to work with us, and that's how we bear fruit. You don't have to bear the fruit on your own, but you do determine what type of heart you are that has the fertile ground to bear the fruit. And that's the category we want to be in. We read this. Luke 8:15 says, but the ones that fell on good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. And ultimately, we're going to get there, but ultimately that's what we want to be. We want to bear fruit. We want to bear fruit that remains for the kingdom of God, that will endure for all eternity. It'll be seen what we did, the fruit we bore for the kingdom of God will be known in our life, in any area, and that's where we want to be. But let's go to Mark 7. So let's read the parable of that third category, and then we'll read the explanation that we just read. Mark 4:7 says, some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. So it fell among thorns. The seed fell among thorns, and the thorns choked the seed, and so it didn't yield crop. And so Jesus is explaining it in verse 18. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things, entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. So he's explaining the seed sown among thorns. This is where these are the ones that hear the word, but then the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. So these things can actually choke the word, so that the word of God, the uncorruptible word of God, is still choked because the soil can't bear fruit. So we talked about the cares of this world a few times ago. We talked about the deceitfulness of riches last time. Go back and listen to that. Tonight we're going to talk about that. It says the desires for other things entering in choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. Can you put that up? The desires for other things. Other things. Other things other than what? Other than the word. other than the things of God. The desire for something else. We're in this world. There's a lot of stuff in this world. You know, we're not just in a room with four walls and it's just us and God, and there's choices in this world. There's all kinds of things that distract, that compete for our attention, that compete to get us to go after something else. The desire for other things. You know, it says the desire for others. It's not the other things. There are bad things in this world. But there's also just things in this world that aren't bad. But if you have a desire too much for those things, they displace the word and they choke the word. Something can be completely, neutral in and of itself. We'll talk about that more. But, you know, any number of things, activities, hobbies, sports, any number of things in this world can be, they're neutral. But if the desire for those things is higher than the desire for God's word and his things, it can choke the word. The thing that is the most important, not the thing, but following after God, that is the most important endeavor we're going to do on this earth. Mm-hmm. The things of God are more important than anything. Our relationship with God is more important than anything in this world. This world is passing away. We're only in this world for a short time. Yet we're here, and it can easily become this is all there is, because that's what the world without God, that's the tendency, and that's what Satan, who is the god of this world and the influence in this world, First John says the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. So he's distracting from the true purpose, which is the kingdom of God and his things. And again, this is all, we talked about it early on in the series, I believe it was the second one. This is a playbook for how our adversary, the devil, comes against the Christian to keep us from bearing fruit. If he can get the word immediately and get the person, get it, steal it immediately, he will. They receive it with joy and start going after. There's going to be things that come in the world to try to push a person off. And if they're not rooted, they'll drop it. Then there are the cares of this world, just the burden of this world. We talked about that. The deceitfulness of riches, going after money. Like, that's the end goal. That's not the end goal. We talked about it last week. That the Bible literally said that one's life does not consist in the abundance of things that we own. That is not the game. It is not Monopoly. Mm-hmm. That you get the most money and then you win. That's not the game. It's not a game. And then there's just, so Satan, these things are things that people get distracted by, and these are the things that choke the word. So it's a playbook. You see, are these things going to pull? It doesn't matter what anybody else is doing. Are they going to pull us off? And so this one, just the desire for other stuff, anything. Mm-hmm. You can't put another person above God, even if it's your spouse. You can't put your kids above God. You can't put your job above God. Is it bad to work? No. He helps us in our vocations. Is marriage bad? No. God ordained marriage. Are children bad? No. Are pastimes bad? Depends on what they are, but just enjoying life? No. Let's look at, before we go on, Mark 4:19 in the Amplified Classic. It says, then the cares and anxieties of the world and distractions of the age and pleasure and delight and false glamour, deceitfulness of riches, and the craving and passionate desire for other things. Everybody say other things. Other than what? The word of God, God's things, creep in and choke and suffocate the word, and it becomes fruitless. I like that, suffocate the word, because what? You need air to live, breathe. If something is keeping you from getting air, well, you will suffocate. If something is keeping you from getting the word, it's going to choke it out. What would that be? If you want other stuff and your life looks like a wall of other stuff, but I just don't have time for the things. I don't have time for that. I'd like to, but, you know, I got this. So I can't. That's a lie. Not true. It's a choice. Again, it might not be a bad thing, but it's a choice. It means that we've chosen to put, well, no, I don't have a choice. No, we do. We might not like the consequences of what we think the choice will be. Well, I can't give up this. I mean, you understand. No. No, it's a simple equation. And this is the subtlety of the distraction. This is it. Because people think, I don't have a choice. I have to do. That's exactly what this means. You want this. It's not that we have to. It's that I don't like the consequences of not. Because I could just be like, this is it. You look throughout the Bible, there are people that said, God, you're it. And they laid everything down and they went after him. And there were consequences and they bore them and they went after God because they esteemed that higher. Yes. Then there are people that pulled back. We talked about last week, the rich young ruler. Jesus said, follow me. And he's like, I've done everything. And Jesus said, well, one thing you lack. He said, sell everything you have and follow me. And he couldn't do it. He said, I can't do that. He went away sorry. He's like, well, I wanted to follow you, but clearly, I have too much stuff for that. He didn't say that literally, but that's what he said with his action. Could he have laid it all down? Yes or no? Could he have decided following Jesus was more important? Could he? Sure he could have. Jesus wouldn't have asked him to. Well, we talked about that in that area. Well, it's the same thing. It's like, well, okay, that's money. I don't follow money. Yeah, but what do we? Is there something else? Well, but man, I'm all about X. I like it. It's not necessarily a sin, but boy, I spend a lot of time on it. And if I'm spending time on things that I say I can't do the things of God, I can't put them for. Well, then we are falling into this category. Might as well just be honest. To the degree that we desire the word is the things of God is the degree that it's going to bear fruit in our life, we ought to take inventory and look and say, is there stuff that's choking the word in my life? If I look at an area and say, well, this isn't bearing the fruit I want, is the word choking, being choked in that area by something else? That's an answer. That's where we start putting those things aside, start looking at the word and letting his word and his things be fruitful and have the space to grow, then we're going to have different results. let's look at Luke 8:14. It says, now the ones that fell among, this is another account of the same thing. Now the ones who fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life and bring no fruit to maturity. Here it says the pleasures of life. Is God against pleasure? No. Look at 1 Timothy 6:17. It says, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. It says, God gives us richly all things to enjoy. So God is not against us enjoying things. James 1:17. It says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. It comes to it. God wants us. God wants us to enjoy life. Psalm 37:3, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. I love that. Feed on His faithfulness. Just press into Him. He's so good. Verse 4, delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. He shall give you the desires of your heart. God is not against us enjoying things. I mean, you could take this and be like, God doesn't want us to enjoy anything. No, God is the author. The fact that we have capacity to enjoy things is part of God's design. He designed us that way. God enjoys, He has pleasure. Well, there's a scripture, He has pleasure in the prosperity of His servant. God has pleasure. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. God has pleasure. God, there's things that please God. So we're designed in His image. The fact that things please us or that we have pleasure is God's design. So it's not that God does not want us to have fun. It's not that He doesn't want us to have pleasures in life. But go back, we read in Luke, can you skip back to Luke 8:14, and then we're going to go forward in Mark, but just a few verses up. It says, now these are the ones who fell among thorns who when they have heard go out and are choked. So here the word is choked. It says here, with cares, riches, and pleasures of life. See, it's not the pleasures, it's the fact that we're focusing on them too much. Pleasure in itself is good. Pleasure for desiring pleasure more than God can choke God in our life. But God isn't against pleasure. But when we start seeking the pleasure, when we start seeking things, this is just one part of it, but you can see readily. You don't need any help to see that the world is seeking. This is one of the things it seeks, is just entertainment, pleasure. Give me, I want it to make me feel good. But God designed us to richly enjoy things. He gives us all things richly to enjoy. In their proper place, you can enjoy them. I can enjoy them. When they're out of place, they will distort our lives and cause us not to bear fruit. The lasting fruit. The only way you can truly enjoy the things of the world is when you put God first. Then you can enjoy things the way they're supposed to be enjoyed, because they are in their place. But if they get out of place and start driving us, and we start putting other things above God, those things that we're seeking pleasure, it actually becomes destructive in our life. It may be overly destructive, but it also, if it starts choking the word, that's a slow death, because we're not going to have life. That's where it becomes out. The thing that it comes out of balance, the thing that we thought was going to bring pleasure, the moment when we're starting to desire other stuff more than God, and we put it first, then it chokes the word. And this is where the issue is. The desire for other things entering in chokes the word, whatever it is. 1 John 2, verse 15. 1 John 2, verse 15 says, do not love the world or the things of the world. But don't love them. Don't love the world or the things of this world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. So there are things, the Bible is saying here, don't love the world. Don't love it. One person said, hold the things of the natural things of this world lightly. Lightly. Hold them lightly. Don't hold God lightly, but lightly esteem the things of this world. In other words, you don't make that the aim. Anything. Because the world's passing away. We need to understand all these things. We need to understand the importance of the Word of God and His things and the relative unimportance of the things of this world, and to have the perspective that it's all passing away. All of it is passing away. People are going to be around. People are eternal. But all the other trappings, the stuff, and it doesn't matter what it is. But you see, the people get caught up with seeking things and make it like, I want this. This is my goal to obtain something. Or this is my goal to be the best in this. This is my goal to have this skill. This is my goal to have this much influence. This is my goal, this hobby, I really love it and I want to have the biggest collection. None of that stuff is bad in its right place, but when it starts displacing God's word and His place and His things, we're putting something that's passing away above something that's eternal. The world does that because it doesn't understand the balance. That's why you look around and people are, you know, if you have spiritual discernment, if you're in the Word of God, you see what the world does and you say, why is that so important? You're willing to lay this stuff down. You're seeking that. It's consuming you. You spend all these hours a week. And it's not, again, something that's necessarily bad. But we've got to be, you know, it can be something that is neutral. They're not sin in themselves, but if you take away, they can take you away from the plan of God. They can take resources and time. Something that's not sin. Because there's things that are sin. Anything that's not of faith is of sin. But things, people will say, well, you know, you're not doing something immoral or evil. But it's just something that's neutral. But it can suck time. It can suck resources. Can suck money. It can suck attention away so that we miss the plan of God for our life. We aren't growing the way we should spiritually because we have let something else distract and choke the word. Now, it ultimately can be choked out, but you know, if something can be choked to a degree, it's not going to produce as it should. If you're not able, if you are, if we're not able to get breaths like we should, we're not going to be able to move like we should. If you can, if you're lungs are unimpeded and your air passages and everything, or you're breathing to full capacity, now you can perform at full capacity. If you're constricted, if your airflow is constricted, your blood isn't going to get the oxygen, your muscles aren't going to get what they need, so you're not going to be able to do what you need. Well, it's the same spiritually. If to the degree that other things constrict the word in our life is the degree that we're going to be inhibited from doing what God wants us to do. And it may look like a good thing. See, choke sounds really bad, but in this light, somebody, in fact, the world can say, you're doing awesome. It could be something, a group in a certain area, in a hobby or a professional group could be like, you're amazing, you're our leader. And the thing is choking the word. But you get accolades for choking the word. Because the world doesn't have any clue about that. They're just like, but you're awesome in this. Yeah. I can name any number of things, any number of activities, any number of endeavors. It doesn't really matter what it is. It just, the Bible just says other things. So it doesn't really matter. And so here's what we shouldn't do is go, well, that other thing, now that's, nobody should be doing that other thing and be blind to the other thing in our life that's taking up our time and resources. And then sanctifying that, you know what I mean? Like setting aside that's holy. That's a good thing, except it's doing the exact same thing as this other thing that doesn't quite sound as good in the church world or doesn't quite sound. See, that's just, we're fooling ourselves. That's hypocrisy. It doesn't really matter what the other thing is. If it's taken the place of God's word, If it's taking the place of us growing, if it's suffocating true fellowship with God and us growing and us developing in the plan of God, it doesn't matter what it is. The result's the same. And the enemy's subtle. Sure, you can spend all this time doing whatever because it's a good endeavor. And the word's being choked. Our life, our spiritual development's being choked, but people are patting you on the back and Satan's going, see, you're doing a good job. Don't think that doesn't happen. So let's look at Exodus 20, verse 2. Oh, thank you, Lord. Exodus 20, verse 2 says, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. These are the Ten Commandments. First commandment, you shall have no other gods before me. We talked about this in light last week. Is, you know, money can be a god, but everything, other things, any other thing can be a god. You shall have no other gods before me. In one definition of a god is something that determines what you or I do, what a person does. That's a god. That's an idol. If we make decisions based on something besides God, then that place has the place of an idol in our life. Well, I'd like to, but I can't because X. We just located. The answer should be, I'm following the Lord, and I'm doing what He's asked me to do, and so I'm going to do that. And then I determine what I'm going to do based on that. If I do it based on, well, I don't have enough money to do that. I go back to the question, did God tell me to do it? Because then it doesn't matter. Well, I don't have enough time to, okay, well, I don't have time to do something that's in the plan of God. What's filling my time? Is it restricting resources? Look at Deuteronomy 6:4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Now, should we do anything else on the earth? Hey, you do things. You're loving the Lord your God, and as you're doing other things, that's the backdrop to everything we do. Look at Matthew 22:37. Jesus quotes this. Refers back to this. Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. That means whatever we're doing, it's subjected to loving God. In other words, I love God and I do these other things. Not I'm doing these other things and then I squeeze God in. No, whatever I do, I should be loving God and being able to do these things, whatever it is, I should be able to do them in faith. That means I'm serving God and I'm doing this thing while serving God in the proper perspective, in the proper place. It doesn't mean that I do nothing but sit in a room and worship God, unless that's what God leads you to do. You're probably going to be doing other things, but all of it's subjected to the loving of God. You do it in faith. You go and do these things. Whatever I do it in subjection. And if I realize, and this is a process, if I realize something has got too much of a pull on me, I got to go before God and say, you want me doing this? And it may be if something controls us, like, you know, you find out how much control something has over you when you try to stop it. You know, it's easy to go, well, I can stop anytime I want to. I don't have to do that. I'll take that time and I'll move it somewhere else. You know when you find out if that's true? When you try to do it. You can realize, people say, I can stop anytime I want to. I'm talking about whatever it is. It could be something that's literally a bad addiction. It could be just something that, I don't need that. I can do without it. And you try to stop it, you realize the pull's stronger than you thought. Or I thought. We've all been there. Well, one thing to do is if God's leading us and we and something is if the Lord would say, hey, That's got too much of a pull on you. If you feel like it's got too much of a pull, if I feel like it, one thing you can do is just put it aside for a little bit. Mm-hmm. Put it aside till it doesn't control you. Now, easier said than done. And don't do it in the flesh, because it'll backfire. When I say in the flesh, don't do it naturally. Don't do it proud. Oh, I can do this. No, it could backfire. You could end up in a worse place. Because you try to do it and then you slingshot back. You're trying to hold yourself out and then you slingshot back and go deeper. And now you're condemnation. You try to go back and now you go deeper. And now you thought you were getting out and you're way in. I'm not talking about sin necessarily. I'm just talking about something consuming our time. Whatever it is. Whatever the other things are. But if you're led by God, God will help us to get stuff so that we do have it under. But Paul said, I keep my body under. So I don't have stuff that's pulling on me. And this is all, God's going to lead us and guide us, each of us. He's going to work with us where we're at. Thank God he doesn't tell you in one fell swoop, get all your life perfect, because we would all be done right there. But when he deals with us and we start to see, you know what, something has a little bit too much. That's actually keeping me, that's suffocating this a little bit. That's suffocating me from it's suffocating the word. I see that. Lord, I'm going to lay that aside. I believe you're leading me. Lord, help me. Show me. Help me to do it. And he will. I didn't say it was easy. But he will. And he'll help us to where we can deal with something and have it in its proper place, to where we can take it or leave it. And we actually are, we're serving God, but we have the other thing in its proper place, then you can actually enjoy the thing. Yeah. It's, you know, if the natural stuff has too much control or too much pull on us, if something happens in that area, it pulls on you more than it should. We're not esteeming it lightly. We're taking it like that is of utmost importance. Instead of, you know what? The world's passing away. This is not a big deal. It's okay. Whatever we feed, whatever we spend time doing is going to get stronger in our lives. Whatever we starve, it's going to get weaker. And so if we're taking time for other things, you know this as well as I do. If you feed a desire for something, the more you spend time on it, the stronger it gets. Yeah. But you know what will happen? You say, I don't know, this is just too, I like this too much. You know how to get it to lessen? Stop doing it. Let it starve. It'll get weaker. But you got to be led. Again, don't you? Be led by God, and he will help us. We don't want things to distract us. But as we pay attention to other things, our desire for them increases. But it works in reverse as well. As we keep them from our sight, the desire will lessen. So if we're dealing with something, I'd like to cut that out, but we're constantly looking at things that remind us of that activity or something, that's just going to stir up the fire. It's like, I want to go do that. And again, not talking about necessarily sin. We're talking about weights, things that God would deal with you, that it's taking too much. Okay, how do you practically deal with that? Well, God can give you a strategy, but one thing is, don't pay attention to it as much. Get something else. Put your attention. One thing is, put your attention on God's word more, and the desire for that will actually satiate some of the desires that we're trying to fill with something else. It works like this with food. Now, this is just general. We know this. But you can only eat so much. You know, your system is built a certain way. And if we're really hungry, you go, I am starving. You know, you can eat stuff that doesn't have that much food value and it'll kill your appetite for a little while. You know, junk food, something. It'll kill your appetite, but it didn't actually nourish you. It didn't fill you up. But if you eat something, I mean, you've probably seen the examples. It's crazy. Like, and I'm not saying this to meddle. I'm just saying this as an example because we all know it. But, you know, like the number of cookies you can eat and the volume that it takes for a number of calories versus like the number of like fruit or, you know, any number of things. I saw one thing where the guy was like building up to, I don't know, it was like 2,800. It was like a day's calorie count for something. And he showed, it was such a good illustration. And I know there's all variations of this, all kinds of people do it. But on one side of the table, he is showing the type of foods like, you know, Oreos and different things that this has this many calories, this has this many, and the volume that it was taking was like, you know, just taking up little bits of thing. And then he had like fruits and vegetables and different things, and the amount of space it took on the table was so much more than the other. It's like you could eat this, it gives you, you're done with your calories like this, or you could eat all this, and the thing is you're filling up as you're going. So it's actually satiating you. It's actually filling you up. You don't have the physical stomach space to like put all that in and you're gonna feel full. Whereas I could eat the calories that it takes for like something good for you, it's this big, and something I could eat like a tablespoon of this and my calories are gone and I'm still super hungry. Well, that's like it is. That's the way it is with all kinds of stuff. I can go and do this stuff and I'm still desiring more, or I could spend time in God's word. It actually fills me up to where now if I want a little bit of this, I can. It's not that I can't have any. It's just that I'm full, and now I can do this in its proper place. But if I put this first, if to the amount that I'm going to have to eat to fill me up, I am going to totally blow any kind of nutrition out of the water. I'm going to eat so much of this, whereas if I put God first, put the word of God first, fill up on those things, put things in their proper place, then I'll actually be able to enjoy this thing instead of it like, you know as well as I do, if you're super hungry and you have a bite of something like that, you want another bite. It used to be the commercial, I think it was for Lay's, like you can't eat one chip. And that is absolutely true. If you are hungry, you are not going to eat just one chip. You're going to keep eating it. Why? But if you are all full and you eat everything, you could, I don't know, you probably still eat more than one chip, but you don't want to eat the whole bag. It's the same thing with spiritual things. Whatever we do, put up Colossians 3:17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. In 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. So what do? I put God first. I ask him for help. I make sure I just ask him, Lord, are there things that are pushing me? And if there is that are taking my time and distracting me from you and keeping me from bearing fruit, if there is, ask him for the way to go forward. But the first thing is put him first, and it will fill us up to where the desire, notice where we started, the desire for the other things, the unbalanced desire is what chokes the word. If we put the word first, those things are going to be in their place, our desires are going to change, and the desire will be in the proper place so the word isn't choked, but we can still enjoy the things. And then we're in balance, and then we'll bear fruit. And God will help us because he wants us to enjoy life. He wants us to enjoy life to the full. He doesn't want to have stuff pulling us and keeping us from bearing fruit when he knows that's the best thing. He wants us to be bearing fruit and then enjoying all the things of life in the proper balance. And then that's actually satisfaction. That's fulfilling. He's so good. He'll help us. Amen.